Hello, I'm Rabbi Iggy, and welcome to Tattoos and Torah. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Tattoos and Torah. I'm Rabbi Iggy. Thank you for joining us again. Today, I want to talk about rest. We are approaching summer, which means longer days, more time outside, more things to do for some. Kids are out of school, if you have kids, and this is when a lot of people go on vacations, of course. So summer is both a time for rest for some and high activity for others, of course. So as I begin, I want to acknowledge that for some people, the kind of rest I'll be talking about may be significantly harder to achieve than for others. It is also true that for some people, they don't have the ability to rest in general, or in the general sense of the word. People who work 12-hour days and get home in time to feed their kids and tuck them in, perhaps, and then fall into bed only to wake up the next day and do it over again. Sometimes people have multiple jobs. Rest is a tricky subject because, of course, rest often seems as a reward, not something that everybody deserves, regardless of how hard they work. So as we begin, I want to think about our first encounter in the Bible and Genesis, where God blesses the seventh day and declares it holy because that was the day that he rested from all his work of creation. That's one of the first times in our tradition that we encounter rest, and that's what's informing a lot of people when we get this idea of rest, that rest comes from the end of a week of hard work, and therefore you have to earn rest. That is an idea that I would like to challenge today. I think that rest isn't something that you earn, but it is something that you deserve and that you are always allowed to take, to use. Many of us start with this idea that we work and then we rest, and rest is recompense for the work that we've done. This idea of rest is often reinforced of what we see in the media, right? In work schedules or in the lives of people around us. You hear of a friend who just finished a project of work and they say they're going to take an extra day off next week since they have been working so hard. Or we see students go on breaks after they finish exams. We internalize these things that lead us to associate rest with being allowed after hard work. So we rest because we worked hard. But what if we thought about it the other way around? What if we think about rest so that we can work? I'm going to talk about the different kinds of rest in our tradition, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional rest. And I want us to think about all these things and the shift that perhaps we have to do around rest. We have all these in our traditions as well, what I'm talking about and what I want to sort of challenge, in the sense that when you go back again into the Bible, if you think about Exodus chapter 20, I think, we read that we must remember to observe the Shabbat by keeping it holy. You have days that are ordinary work, and then the seventh day, which is Shabbat, it is a day of rest and is dedicated to God work, right? Shabbat Kodesh is the Hebrew word. So here we have another idea about rest, where rest in this case, Shabbat, is a special thing that we put aside. In fact, that's what Kodesh means. We often translate it as holy, but Kodesh means to put aside. It is dedicated to something else. For Shabbat, we rest because we are honoring something different, something else that is outside of ourselves. In a way, that is spiritual fulfilling for a lot of people, and it's meaningful. And this is one of those spaces where rest is something that can be nourishing, not just a cessation of work, and really what rest should be, a kind of nourishing, a replenishing that I'll talk a lot about, not just as a recompense for work. You see, rest needs to be something that we find that fills us up, gives us nourishment, something that feeds us, something from which we can grow, learn, feel better, feel something inside us, something that we are able to interact with, that gives us something more than just a simple rest and more than just a simple reward for hard work. There are other places in our tradition that we see this idea that spirituality or spiritual practices or spiritual rest in that sense, or rest as a spiritual practice, which is really what I'm talking about, can be restful and nourishing. In Psalms, there is a verse that says, I lay down and I slept, but then I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. So when we're thinking about these spiritual practices and spirituality in general, I want us to think about all these practices. And you can substitute Lord for God, divine, whatever, God of our own understanding. And think about, what is it that actually does sustain us? What are the things that actually nourish us? Yes, for some people it can be sitting on a couch. For some, it can come from something that is really not doing anything. But for some, it also can be something that's very laborious in a different way. Right? For some people, it might be going to the gym or going outside, yard work, right? Planting, gardening, something that isn't associated with just like lounging and resting. But that, in fact, can give you more nourishment. For some people, that is the rest. Rest has multiple facets that aren't only about the physical action of resting, but there is a spiritual and emotional value of that rest, which is the thing that gives us nourishment. Many believe, of course, that sort of God says, my presence shall go with you and I will give you rest. Right? God, the divine, can be a source of nourishment for a lot of people in religious life. But of course, when we think about spirituality, not just about God, right? I want to think about actions that are components that replenish us within ourselves, without God, without leaning towards the religious aspect of it. So as we think about this, as always, it is a crucial moment to take inventory, to make a list, to start thinking about the things that fulfill us. What are the actions that we take that make us feel plentiful, nourished, fed, growing, rested? Now, we have to be honest about these things, right? For some people, we have to think about the activity, because for some people, it is not doing much. But for some people, it is also an activity, right? Like hiking, or like I said, gym. Something that does allow us to have a respite. But it really depends. And for some, it is, could be even, right, shopping, and we'll talk about other things like art, whatever. But there's always honesty in this inventory. Have you ever thought about what are the things that actually really replenish you? What are the things that really make you feel rested at the end of a period, whether it is a weekend or not, whether it is a midday, whatever that is? Maybe it's study, learning. The important thing is, as we do this inventory, to not judge yourself, and that's the honesty part, and also not allow society and others to judge you as well. What could be restful to you is important because it is something that's restful for you. Other people may think, oh, that's not restful at all, but you are the best judge of what it is that sort of you need. And sometimes if you don't know, of course, experimenting with these things is a really good idea. Of keeping a diary and experimenting about things that you can do during a time that you consider rest and seeing, hey, actually, do I feel better after this? Or do I feel nourished after this? Do I feel I have more more inner spiritual meaning, where I feel that I have more accomplishment within myself? Do I have more worth within myself? Whatever it is that you want to track as we rest, as we are bracing for the other parts of our days. Of course, for some, it's not a physical activity, right? It can be observing nature, the ocean, art, things that inspire us. For some people, it is a creation of something new, like new arts or crafts, pottery, macrame, painting, sculpting, whatever it is. For some, it's consumption of physical or emotional or spiritual things. And for some people, it may be food or watching TV or even binging on a show. So it is so important for a life of meaning, a life of spirituality, that you understand what actually makes you feel replenished and the actions you can take to make you feel replenished that way. I also think that we don't spend enough time really considering the difference between, or the connection between, rest and nourishment, physical and spiritual nourishment, which is why I think it's important to think about how we rest. So for example, how do we structure our day is really important in recovery, right? We talked about this in the routine. Do we take different small pieces of rest during the day? Do we only rest at night, in the evening when we're done? Do you do mindfulness or breath work throughout the day? For some, of course, it's through writing or journaling. But in order to integrate rest into our lives, we have to really understand, how do we prioritize rest? Do you prioritize rest at all? This will help us show how we can be as productive and as purposeful about the rest of our time. This, of course, will help us to show how we can be as productive and as purposeful about the rest that we have, the time we allow for it, where it fits in the day. And this, is, of course, isn't about productivity in that sense, right? Or how you can perform better at work or increase the revenue of your company. Maybe that is an element of this, but it's really about how you can be more productive of living a life of meaning for yourself. You see, rest and work are partners. Rest isn't just the medicine for burnout, right? Incorporating rest, or thinking about incorporating rest on a daily basis, throughout the day, whatever, however you choose to do it. So incorporating this rest into your life makes it more sustainable, your life in general. Many people only rest because they have to, because they have been burnt out, or they're burning themselves out, or they're working really hard until the body gives out, and or the work gives out, and then we rest. Right? And that can happen with work, that can happen with family, of course. And sometimes we push ourselves all the way that we sort of are forced to sort of, right, to sort of to kind of collapse at the end. So sometimes like that, we have to rest before we, right, sort of crack under the weight of whatever it is that we're dealing with. I want us to think about this relationship between rest and work more like a wave. A wave has a high, has a low, has a crash, has an ebb and a flow. The ebb and the flow of the wave is how I see rest and work, more of a pattern, not a black and white of work and rest. There is a push and pull that is consistent with this sort of rhythm, this rhythmic move of the wave, right? That when we think about it, sort of the tide, right, as it goes in and out, and sort of like even the crash of the wave, but then the movement of the water. So if we think about it as more of a pattern, right, we think about seeing it as a unified pattern instead of trying to see how long we can make before we need rest, we can think about it in a more sustainable way and a more in a way that allows us to have more of a meaning in our life and more of a ritual or a spiritual practice around this. There are different kinds of rest, as we said. There's of course physical rest, where you have to make sure you sleep, and your body isn't in pain, right? Sleep hygiene. I've spoken a lot about sleep hygiene and the importance of sleep hygiene, and how we make sure that sort of we create a space that we can, in fact, physically rest. Right? We have to take care of our body, try to avoid, right, a sedentary lifestyle. Making sure that we sleep enough and that there's the quality of the sleep, right? Sort of not to physically exhaust ourselves, making sure that we have enough physical rest. There is mental rest. When you're feeling distracted, overwhelmed, can't focus, these are often indicators that you need mental rest, which could be short breaks throughout the day, creating spaces for mental rest, journaling, meditation, breath. It could also be a vacation, of course, or being environmental changes, but those are mental rest that we have to think about. There is social rest. So regardless whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, it is good to think about what are the times where you're around people versus the time you're with yourself. How much are you in large crowds versus hanging out with one person who is important to you, or even just yourself? Time with human beings, time with pets, that's important to think about. It is, you know, making sure there's also some social rest. Being able to determine which social settings drain you and which recharge you is really important for understanding what social rest looks like for you. And again, extroverts and introverts are different, not in their ability to be the life of the party, but in their ability to know how they recharge. So introverts recharge by being alone so they can have all the energy they need to be, in fact, in social settings. And extroverts need to be with people so that they can withstand and recharge for the times they are alone. So it's important for you to know which one you are for that. Then it's important to think about how much multitasking sometimes you're doing with people when you are in social settings, whether you're on your phone or trying to have conversation with multiple people at the same time. That can also sort of lead to a lot of stress, social stress. And social rest means to less multitask, right? To be in one place at one time with one person. It allows you to really think about the energy you're spending with people, right? To think about the energy required to be with other people and to deal with everything around that. This could be with friends, but this also could be with family, co-workers, right? It can be draining to have to be in an environment where you're constantly resisted, perhaps the judgment of others or your own judgments or values that sort of don't align, right? The sort of social interactions that we have, whether at work or families, can drain us. And thinking about those kinds of rest is part of social rest. And sort of, again, understanding how you are and what you can afford and what you cannot. Going back to spiritual rest, we have to think about how we engage with things that are beyond ourselves and the tools we use to nourish our souls. It is a study, it is a contemplation, perhaps practices of gratitude. How do you find time to nourish yourself, to grow your soul, right? Is it Talmud study that we have twice a week at the center, or Torah study we have once a week, whatever it is you want to study, growing, whatever that is, right? There's spiritual rest that usually involves a practice. So it is important to understand the times that you perhaps feel spiritually exhausted. Right, and what does that look like for you? Was it perhaps when you had a lot of tension in the interpersonal relationships that you have, or when you were inundated with news about horrible things happening in the world, which is more and more common every day, of course, unfortunately? How can you balance being a compassionate human being but also making sure that you are not spiritually depleted is a really interesting way of always thinking about your own spiritual needs, and then your own spiritual rest and nourishment. Boundaries, of course, are very important elements of spiritual rest. So not saying yes to everything, being mindful of where you're spending your energy, who you're spending your energy with, perhaps being part of a spiritual community, volunteering, right? Or even seeing a spiritual counselor that we also offer can be really helpful in nourishing your soul if you do have spiritual exhaustion or spiritual bankruptcy. When we think about this rest, and like I mentioned, thinking about boundaries, what you say yes to and what you say no to, right? Boundaries are very important for this understanding of your rest and for this thing that we're thinking about in terms of the inventory, right? Boundaries between work and non-work, boundaries between people, technology, and even boundaries with rest. So not sleeping all day, but also not doing too much work around without enough rest. Then there is, of course, sensory rest, which is another type of rest that is often overlooked. Taking breaks from devices, of course, or avoiding digital overload. Being in the city, right? Sometimes if you live in a city, windows open, there's a lot of sensory overload that can happen when there's too much smells, sounds, lights, people talking at you constantly, being around people, the hustle and bustle of a city, subways, public transportation, walking around the street, or even sort of like really colorful environments or people who come to your office or around you who are wearing very powerful scents, smells, perfumes. There is sensory overload sometimes, and we have to think about rest from that as well, which is really important, of trying to understand, am I bombarded by this and do I need rest from that? And if so, how do I get that? Creative rest, of course, is very good as well to think about when you feel blocked or uninspired or have no ideas. It's helpful to turn your brain off when you're feeling blah. Those are times, for example, when I think a lot about nature and the beach, the park, a hike, or just walking around the block and seeing what's around. I've said this before, that sort of I have a friend who has a practice that every time he walks outside, he's looking for something in bloom. No matter where he is, no matter what time of the year, whether it is the dead of winter or the height of spring, see something, look for something in bloom, small or big. Thinking about things that are done for fun for yourself, enjoyment, right, can be unblocking your creative blocks, right? So thinking about rest and unblocking, we often think about very mature things, but sometimes we also think we have to think about things that perhaps we've forgotten as children, like roller coasters, hopscotch, jumping around, playing board games with friends, whatever it is. And of course, there is museums and cultural events and concerts and music and all that, which is very important for that rest, if again, that's part of your inventory. But I also want us to encourage others and ourselves to think about things that sort of maybe gave us more joy when we were kids, pools, water parks, whatever it is. So these are the type of things that I think about when we think about rest and when we consider those who can create a balance to create a routine for themselves, and what I'm advocating for us to create this routine for ourselves, to think about big rests, daily rest, and then small rest throughout the day, and planning for it, like rest for the weekend or making sure that we have rests throughout the day, small rest for ourselves. So that way, then we want to lead a better rested life, we have to constantly make sure that we are working on this wave with the ebbs and the flows. So everything stays in the pattern of balance and in control, and we are not faced all of a sudden with sort of a tsunami, if you will. And this is really critical, right? Taking time to rest before you feel like you need it. That is partly the essential thing. Otherwise, you're still in the mentality that you have to feel burnt out to rest, or you have to really, again, earn the rest, which I reject. And you have to feel like rest is something that you reward yourself after hard work. I want to make sure that sort of we make sure that rest brings us joy and happiness and nourishment, and that we recognize that we deserve it whether we worked hard or not. That as humans, our ability to take a pause, take a moment, rest, is not something that you have to prove to yourself or anybody else that you earn, but it is just something that you have just because you're born. Thank you for joining us, for thinking aloud with me, if you will. I'll see you next week. This is Tattoos and Torah. I'm Rabbi Egi. This podcast was recorded by Tshuva Center. I want to thank our team, Ben Lichman, Grace Sheed, and Sadie Baker-Wax, who make this all possible and make sure that the guests and I sound as best we can. Thank you all for listening. Again, you can check out our Instagram and our website, Tshuva Center, Tshuvah Center, Center, one word. You can find us on Instagram or TikTok, Facebook. If you have any questions, as always, you know how to find us. This podcast was recorded by Tshuva Center. I want to thank our team, Ben Lichman, Grace Sheed, and Sadie Baker-Wax, who make this all possible and make sure that the guests and I sound as best we can. Thank you all for listening. Chag Sameach.